Family and friends, there's such a diversity of people in our world today, different shapes, different ages, different backgrounds. Everybody is different from everybody else in some way, but I want you to know each one of us is uniquely shaped by God, created by God, and yet with all of that said, there is one thing we all have in common. And unless the rapture comes first, it is something that every single human being will experience at some point. And that common experience is death. Listen to me. Every human being comes equipped with an expiration date. Tonight we come to the 12th message in our series of being rooted and grounded. And rooted and grounded is all about discovering the basic beliefs of our Christian faith. And granted, tonight, death probably doesn't rank in your top 10 of favorite topics, but since God's word says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, we should at least think about it. Because the Bible has a lot to say about our death. And since these messages are about looking at the fundamental beliefs of the Christian faith, this is one we really need to know and really need to understand. And so I'm thankful for all who have joined us here tonight on Living Faith Television. Thank you for your continued support of Digging Deeper, a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church. Now, family and friends, just a week ago, if you'll remember, God spoke to us about sanctification. And that great big churchy word is all about what God is in the process of doing in His children right now. Sanctification is the process of God making us more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when we die, one part of our sanctification is finished. You see, the moment a Christian dies, their soul becomes perfected. And our perfected souls immediately enter into the presence of Almighty God. What a day that is going to be when we see our Lord face to face. Can you even begin to imagine what it would be like when we gaze upon the one who loved us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for us? I can't even begin to picture that moment in my mind, but I do believe when I see my master's face, I'm going to be shedding a whole lot of tears. Tears of utter joy. What about you? Have you given thought to what it will be like when you see your Lord face to face? Now, there are many questions in our world today that people have about death. And several years ago, there was a television show on TNT called Proof. And they were trying to answer the question of death. Specifically, what happens after death? Family and friends, one thing I can guarantee is you are not going to find the answer on a television program that is void of the truth of God's Word. If you want to know the answers about death and you want to know what happens after death, there's only one place you can go, and that is to the book of truth, God's holy word. You see, the Bible tells us all we need to know about death. And tonight, God is going to share with us four answers to four questions that most folks have about death. Question number one, why do Christians die? Have you ever wondered if we're saved, then why do we have to die? After all, we're going to live forever anyway. Why can't we just be swept up into heaven like Elijah was? Well, first thing we need to understand about death is that death is not a punishment for the Christian. I want to share this text with you tonight from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father God, we just come to you tonight, and Lord, we're talking about a topic that should interest us all, and yet, Lord, we realize it's not one of the top 10 topics most people like to talk about. But Father, tonight we ask that you would just shoot straight with us right from your word, that we would gain in our understanding, and that we can have confidence in the peace that is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, just give us an understanding heart tonight. In Christ's name we pray, amen. If you truly are a Christian, you will never be condemned by God, because the Bible says again, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, God can't condemn you because Christ has freed you from having to pay for your sins. You see, when Jesus took our sins, he paid the penalty, which is death for every one of them. He paid the penalty for our sins, all the sins of our past, all the sin in our present, and any sin we might commit in the future. But we still suffer in a world shaped by, and that's influenced by, sin. You see, the Bible says in Romans 8, 20 and 21, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. As a child of God, a Christian still lives in a world that is not right. The truth of the matter is, Christians can still sin, though hopefully we sin less and less. Christians can still get sick. Christians can still suffer from emotional, physical, and spiritual pain. Christians can still suffer weather-related disasters that occur in our world, and a Christian's death is still part of living in a cursed world. Now we know, because God has told us, that one day that curse is going to be removed. The Bible says that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, 1 Corinthians 15:26. So God is promising us that one day death will never happen again. This we know: when the Lord Jesus returns in his glory, death will cease to exist. But until then, death will continue to claim us. Now the second question is this: what happens to Christians when they die? What happens to Christians when they die? Well, allow me to ask you a very pointed question. Do you fear death? A man in one of my former churches said he didn't fear death. He just feared how it was going to occur. And that may be true for all of us. But we Christians should not fear death. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And the Bible is simply telling us, family and friends, that Jesus broke the power of death. Death has no hold on those of us who belong to Jesus Christ. That's why the psalmist could boldly declare, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen, my view of death, and I have the Holy Scriptures, promise is that we will walk into the arms of a loving Savior. Death, then, is nothing but a door that one day you and I are going to step through into the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you're struggling with death, and a lot of Christian people do, what you need to do is just ask God to give you an understanding of death and to give you a greater faith. Now, don't get the idea that I said you don't have faith if you struggle with death. You have faith, but what you need it to do is you need to grow in your faith. You see, we need to have an eternal mindset here. Far too often we're thinking of only this temporal world. We need to be thinking and praising God for what he's created and what he is doing, because when death claims one of our loved ones and they're a child of God, their souls go immediately into the presence of God. We are confident I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul said, Philippians 1 and 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Listen to me. To be with Christ is far better than remaining in this world. That's because this world is passing away. Now, don't get me wrong. There are many beautiful things in this world, friend. But family and friends, God says this world's going to pass away. And I believe God. Do you? In fact, God promises that he is creating a brand new earth, and he's going to create a brand new heaven. And so when someone who is a Christian dies, their body remains in the grave, but their soul goes to be with Jesus. And I can guarantee you it's much better being with Jesus than it is being here. Listen, when I go home, I have to go and I visit my mama's grave. I still miss her presence, but I can tell you this, I wouldn't want my mama back here. Listen, she's with Jesus. What could ever be better than that? Oh, how great it is to be with Jesus. Listen to me. It's all right to mourn the death of a Christian friend or relative. The Bible says, Acts 8 and 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And we know, because the Bible tells us so, that when Jesus came to the grave of his dear friend Lazarus, what did Jesus do? He wept. It's all right to grieve, and it's all right to mourn. It's all right to weep. Jesus, even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, still mourned at Lazarus' grave. It still moved him. And so it's okay to cry, and it's okay to miss our Christian loved one. I cry when I visit the graves of those I've known and those I've loved, but we're not to mourn for those as if mourn for them, if you will, as those who are hopeless. You see, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We know we're going to see our loved ones again. Listen, one day soon, we're going to be with Jesus. When you read the Bible tells us that Abraham was gathered unto his people. Jacob was gathered unto his people. Moses was gathered unto his people. And if you're a Christian, guess what? One day, you're going to be gathered unto your people. And when that day comes, we're going to be with Jesus. And we're going to be with all of those who've gone on before us. This is our blessed hope. And we can have confidence in this hope because God has said it will be so. And when God says it will be so, I believe him. Do you? There's a third question folks have, and it's this. What happens to non-Christians when they die? Well, this is what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And God says this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set his sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then he will also say to those on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. And naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or naked, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as ye did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now the Bible simply says, when people who have rejected Jesus die, their souls go immediately to eternal punishment. Their bodies remain in the grave, but their souls go on to hell. And Jesus said, Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And John in the book of Revelation says, And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. When Jesus returns, their bodies and their souls will be joined again for the final judgment. They will be judged, and their bodies and souls will be rejoined, and then they will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. They will be cast into hell. They're not going to have a second chance to repent of their sins and to place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the time for that is now. Now is the day of salvation. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Listen to me, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not yet repented of your sin, you don't know the day or the hour when you may die. So today, this moment becomes a critical moment in your life because you're not guaranteed you're going to have another moment. Do you know Christ today? Will you go to heaven, friend, or will you go to hell? That choice is yours. The Bible urges you to come to Christ today. Now, only a fool would put that off. Only a fool would say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow. Only a fool would say, well, I got to have a little more time in this world. Only a fool would say, when I get everything straight, then I'll come. Only a fool would put it off. God in his abundant mercy and grace gives us a picture of a sinner's life in hell in Luke 16. And that's a message for another day, but I just want to share this little bit with you. Here's a man in hell and he cries out and says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he is comforted and you're tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. You see, God is very clear. There is going to be no second chance. You'd better believe there's no second chance. The only time to choose to trust in Jesus Christ is now. Again, that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. There is no hope for anyone who dies without trusting in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote about his fellow Jews who were rejecting and dying without Christ, and he said, I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Now listen to me, there is not a soul alive who can say with complete certainty that someone rejected Christ to the very end, but knowing you are about to die can bring about genuine faith and repentance. And let us be reminded here that there is one more thing we have in common, and it's this: not one single soul listening to this message knows when they are going to die. All we know is that we are going to die. That's why the best thing, that's why the wisest thing that anyone can do is to be certain that you are trusting in Jesus Christ tonight by repenting of your sin and asking Jesus to forgive you. Now, friend, there's one last question. When are Christians raised from the dead? Now remember what God has said. When a Christian dies, their soul immediately goes to heaven. Their soul immediately goes into God's presence, but our body remains in the grave. And our bodies will remain in the grave waiting for the return of Jesus to be resurrected and to be made new. You see, the Bible teaches Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And God is simply saying, when Jesus Christ returns, we will finally be completely redeemed, completely sanctified. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:22-23, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. The day that Jesus Christ returns, our bodies will be reunited with our souls, and our transformation will be complete. Now, there's only one way not to experience death, and allow me to touch on that quickly. You see, if you're still alive when Jesus returns, you get a new body too. The Bible says this: behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now it's all the same to you. I'd rather go home to heaven without having to see the undertaker. See, friend, I'm looking for the upper taker. I'd just as soon skip the middleman. Just imagine instantly receiving a new, permanent, resurrected body. And every Christian gets one, because the Bible says, Jesus shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Theologically, this is known as glorification. Our new bodies are going to live forever. Just think about this. They will never wear out. They'll never get old. They'll never get sick. They'll never show signs of aging. They will be happy and strong forever and ever. Amen. Now, one last question very quickly. What will happen to you when you die? What will happen to you when you die? Have you ever given thought to that? You can be sure, friend, that one of the two things are going to happen to you. If you die as a Christian, you will immediately be in God's presence. When Jesus returns, your soul will reunite with your new body, living with Jesus forever and ever in eternity. If you die without trusting in Jesus Christ, you will immediately enter into eternal punishment. Your soul will go there, and when Christ returns, you will be united with your old body, and you will be judged. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, you need to repent. You need to be saved. Cannot encourage you enough in that. You need to think about that. If you want to make that decision tonight based on what you've heard, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you simply pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Please be my Savior and be my Lord. Please forgive me of all my sin. Lord, I am repenting right here tonight. I am turning from my sin and I am turning to you. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friend, if you prayed that prayer tonight sincerely from your heart, I want you to be assured, number one, you are saved. Jesus has saved you from all the sin of your past, all the sin in your present, any sin you will commit in the future. You are eternally saved. How great it'll be should death come upon your door, because the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of it, I will fear no evil, because you're going to be walking right into the arms of a loving Savior. Get that picture firmly planted in your mind. Oh, what a great day that's going to be. If you prayed to make that decision tonight, would you please call us or email us at the address on the screen? We want to get you a Bible. We want to get literature into your hands. We want to be able to call and pray with you. We want to see you get started right in your Christian life. God is so good. God is so wonderful. I just cannot thank you enough. I can't encourage you enough. You get to know Jesus, and all of the questions of life for you will be eternally answered in him. He is a great God. He is an awesome God. He is a loving Savior. Oh, how wonderful it is to know Jesus Christ. To have that blessed peace that will last for all eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. Father, would you bless all those who have listened tonight? Would you comfort us? Would you strengthen us? Grant us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.